This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Hide and Seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy. 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 Enjoy the ride.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Hide and Seek. I am Dean Beck.
And I'm James Findlay.
On Hide and Seek, we explore sex, sexuality and self. James and I consider ourselves to be champions of positive sexual expression, empowering you to embrace your sexuality, celebrate your diversity, and I guess ultimately our wish is that you believe in yourself. But for victims of sexual assault, those positive affirmations are much harder to achieve.
In this very special edition of Hide and Seek, we look at sexual assault.
Tonight, as part of Joy 94.9's commitment to Community Safety Month, we will bring you the tales, trials and transformations involved with surviving sexual assault.
With one in four women and one in seven men reporting some form of sexual abuse before becoming an adult, the problem is a real one that affects us all.
It's very real. And with the tremendous help of our amazing lineup of guests tonight, I hope that we will shed some light and even offer some hope to what can only be described as Australia's darkest secret.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
Now, let's say from the outset, this is not going to be a light and fluffy edition of Hide and Seek. Tonight, there will be stories, there'll be facts and figures that will astound, shock and challenge you. I've found it pretty tough, to be quite honest, putting this show together, and I had no idea that researching tonight's episode was going to challenge me on so many levels.
Yeah, and I'm going to be quite interested to see how this show is going to go as well. It'll be a very interesting listen.
Now, some of the facts and figures that you will hear throughout tonight's show will leave you gasping. And as tough as it is putting this together, I can only begin to imagine what it is like for those who have personally experienced sexual assault firsthand, and what it is like for those who actually choose to work in this field.
That's right. It must be really hard to get up and go to work some days.
To the police, the social workers, the psychologists and the health workers that have to pick up the pieces of those lives that have been shattered by sexual assault, I salute you.
Who will be joining us tonight?
James, tonight we will be joined by Senior Sergeant Trish Duke, Victorian Police Sexual Offences and Child Abuse Unit. We'll be joined by the Victorian Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, Acting Sergeant Gabrielle Tyack, and Greg Atkins, the Executive Director of the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria, will also be joining us. After midnight, Carolyn Worth, CEO of the Southeast Centre Against Sexual Assault, will be in with our very special guest, Leonard, who is a survivor of child sexual assault.
And also tonight, we hope to be joined by you. You can contribute to the show by sending a text via SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can send us an email right through to the studio on air at joy.org.au.
You're with Dean Beck and James Finlay.
On a very special edition of Hide and Seek, Surviving Sexual Assault, on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9, streaming live around the world on joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party. I'm just ringing to say hi to James and Dean and all you listeners. I want to thank you for putting on this show, Surviving Sexual Assault, and bringing such an amazing panel together, including police and survivors. The statistics are horrific, and your show can only help in getting the message across that sexual assault is not uncommon and survivors are not alone, And that so often this crime takes place in what should be safe places, such as home or in the church. The subject of sexual violence in our community is confronting, but we don't confront it enough. And good luck tonight and good on you.
Hide.
Now, this is a little paragraph that I'd like to read from Dr. Bill Glasser, and it goes like this. Imagine a society afflicted by a scourge which struck down a quarter of its daughters and up to one in eight of its sons. Imagine also that this plague, whilst not immediately fatal, lurked in the bodies and minds of these young children for decades, making them up to 16 times more likely to experience its disastrous long-term effects. Finally, imagine the nature of these effects: life-threatening starvation, suicide, persistent nightmares, drug and alcohol abuse, and a whole host of intractable psychiatric disorders requiring lifelong treatment. What would the society's response be? Now, the scourge that Dr. Bill Glasser speaks of is that of child abuse, and someone who works at the coalface of child abuse in this state is the Victorian Police Senior Sergeant Trish Duke. Trish, thank you very much for joining us here on Hide and Seek.
Thank you.
Trish, what motivates you to get up and go to work each day?
I guess probably it's looking at what I've done. I've done it for many, many years. I've been in the police force over 30 years now and been in this field over 25 years.
Right.
It can be very, very rewarding, believe it or not. And the rewarding side is when you actually have somebody come in and listen to you, and then you actually, you can't promise anything, but you, particularly with children, you can actually give them the opportunity for them to trust somebody.
Yeah.
Usually their trust has already been blown.
Sure.
Usually they have trusted somebody who has promised something, given them something, or promised a reward. We promise nothing other than to listen to them. We can't promise anything will happen.
You would have to experience some of society's most ghastly sights.
There's nothing to compare it to,
say... Yeah, sure.
There would be more horrendous things, but to us we probably do. There is nothing to compare it to.
And you are, more often than not, amongst the first people that these, at the time, victims, we can't call them survivors at that point, they're certainly victims, the first person that they come into contact with. Tell me, how do you get someone to live beyond that moment of horror?
Probably there's a few expressions I use, and one is, God can't change the past, nor can I.
Sure.
And by saying that, I can't change what's happened, but they have been through the worst of it with that.
And that offers hope.
Yeah, but it still doesn't offer to get rid of the memories. It means that they have been through the worst of it, but there's still a long, long way to go. We can't change what's happened, but we can certainly try and give them some hope for the future and things that they might be able to do in the future.
That's true, because memories are some of the hardest... Well, they are pretty much the hardest things to get rid of, aren't they?
Yeah.
Especially because it's so visual.
Mm. And people do keep reliving it. We do, as police, ask them to relive it. That makes it very, very difficult. We do say to them, look, we want you to relive this, go through this again.
And when they go to hospital, they have to relive it again. And when they're talking to social workers, it has to be relived again.
Yep.
And again and again and again.
So the more times they relive it, it gets better? Well, it doesn't get better, but maybe easier?
Some people do say that.
Yeah.
And every person, every victim, or every person, I don't like the word victim.
No,
either.
I don't either.
Every person that comes in contact with us is an individual. So each person is going to deal with this particular trauma that's hit their life, or crisis that has hit their life in a different way.
Yeah, totally.
Senior Sergeant Trish, there's countless statistics that just... leave me speechless. An estimated one in four girls between the ages of 1 and 7 and 1 in 12 boys will be victims of child sexual abuse. Girls and boys of all ages are sexually abused, and victims are sometimes toddlers, young children, sometimes even babies. And you see that.
Yes. But statistics are purely statistics. They're not people. I don't see the statistics and what you've quoted. I don't see that at all. I see people and real human beings.
And that means each and every case is just that, an individual case. We start again.
Yes, and it has to be, because if something that happened to you wasn't treated completely as an individual case, or if you related a case that had happened earlier to someone and said, well, this person reacted that way, it would mean that everybody in the world reacted exactly the same to everything, and they don't, and there's no two the same.
The statistics of those who perpetrate the crimes on children that actually go to court are charged and convicted are less than what's reported, though. We don't see every case of abuse result in a conviction, do we?
No, we don't. And there's a number of reasons for that. One of the major reasons is people are very, very reluctant to report it. We have many, many silent witnesses and silent...
What's silent a silent witness?
Well, you mentioned before children under the age of one. We have people with intellectual disabilities, people that are the silent witness, and sadly, it's sometimes the body.
And is it sometimes the mother that turns the other way?
It can be a parent that turns the other way in incest situations, but it can also be the person and their peers and their siblings. Mm-hmm. It can be their peer group that have said, look, just get over it.
Just forget about it.
Yeah. Just forget, or no, just get over it. Don't bother reporting it, because you're going to have to go to court, or you're going to have to go to this. That's one part. So they're the people that don't report it. The other part is the people that come in to report it and have watched many, many television shows that have said, this is what's going to happen in court, or your life's going to be bored. And so they become very, very frightened from a lot of things, and also so many times believe that their name is going to be spread all over the newspapers, which is not true and cannot happen in this state.
No, in fact, we've got laws, the very clear laws, in not naming any of the victims.
That's correct. Yeah, And the other side is sometimes the victim will get there and just say, no, this is where I'm ready in my recovery. I just don't want to take it any further. Then the decision to take it further is ultimately up to me or somebody in my position who can say, yes, we will take it further because there might be a series of offences involving that offender. Or I might make the decision and say, no, this is not in the public interest or the victim's interest to take it further.
Right. Okay. Mm. That was going to be my question. There must be times when you have to draw the line for the sake of the victim. And if they don't want to pursue it or give evidence, then I guess in some cases you don't have a case.
Sometimes you don't, but it is a decision that I have to make and based on everything that I have in front of me,
We're with Senior Sergeant Trish Duke, who is part of the Victorian Police's Sexual Offences and Child Abuse Unit. This is a very special edition of Hide and Seek. We're talking about surviving sexual assault, part of this station's commitment to Community Safety Month. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
You're listening to Dean Beck and James Finlay with a very special edition of Hide and Seek, Surviving Sexual Assault, part of this station's commitment to Community Safety Month. Senior Sergeant Trish Duke is with us from the Sexual Assault and Child Abuse Division of the Victorian Police. Trish, let's talk about degrees of assault. There are varying degrees of assault, and I guess some of that's open to the individual's interpretation.
It definitely is. I'll give you an example. I had a situation on a Sunday morning where I had a woman with an intellectual disability who was brought into the station who had been indecently assaulted, and her world was completely shattered. We dealt with, first of all, the initial things that needed to be dealt with from the medical point of view, and then went through the rest of the legal procedures of taking the statement and things like that. When I had finished and taken her home, I got another call, and it was from an 89-year-old woman. And this 89-year-old woman had rung me because she felt she had been sexually assaulted. And I couldn't really understand why. And she said, well, it's because, and we'll call him Johnny down the street. Johnny down the street said that he was going to F her, and he's been saying it for 5 years, but nobody told her what the F word meant. And she found it out. And she thought that she was going to be sexually assaulted.
Oh, right.
So her trauma was just to her as important and what she was going through, even though he had been saying it for years and years, and he said to everyone that walked past in the street, she didn't know what it meant. When she found out what it meant, it really and truly traumatised her.
Yeah,
wow.
So the difference for her in relation to how she felt, in my personal feelings, was no different to the person I had taken through for a medical and taken through the whole process earlier.
Yeah.
But it is how each of us perceive any of these things.
Are you on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
There are members available 24 hours. not me personally, no.
There would, I guess, be specific types of cases that you would consider yourself to be an expert in compared to others who deal with other sections of sexual assault, would there not?
I think, look, I've certainly got years of experience, and there are some cases that you do become very, very experienced in.
And therefore you're called upon
to
be a part of those. Trish, false reporting is often brought up as a defence. What is the prevalence of false reporting of sexual assault?
First of all, let's clarify what we call false reporting. Some people come in to report a sexual assault because they think that they've been going to be caught out by their partner.
Right.
And they use that as the reason for saying, this is what's happened. And often it's not that person that instigated the false report. Often it is... they might have said to the partner, well, look, I didn't want it to happen or whatever. So the partner or someone else has encouraged them to come in and to actually report it, mm-hmm. and it gets to a certain stage down the track and all of a sudden, I mean, you can often see in it when somebody is very, very cautious to tell you a lot of the truth. Not many people deliberately go out to false report a sexual assault, particularly if a medical is involved as well.
And children are often, if they're reporting sexual abuse, it's often said that children make stories up. But I believe the statistics would suggest that that's not the case. Children aren't very good at making up these detailed stories at all.
Children are very good with imagination of what they've seen. But if they haven't seen it and haven't experienced it,
they can't make it up.
And I've certainly had cases where that's been the situation. Certain things that children have said are unique to... There is no way, whether they've watched, you know, no matter what they would have watched on television, no matter what experiences they would have seen, if they'd gone into their parents' bedroom or things that long time, they just couldn't.
One of Dad's porns was on the TV or something. They couldn't have gone into the graphic detail without experiencing
They couldn't have gone into the emotions that have come from it. And even if they were a child on a farm who were far more used to animals reading and reproducing and doing all of that, they still could not come into those emotions that are there. Things like explaining that there was heavy breathing and then the breathing stopped. Or these type of things. They couldn't do that.
It's the nuances, I guess, that you as a police officer would be looking for in gathering evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't... If a child's asked to repeat a lie, and I think this week's probably a very good example with the American situation of the...
Yes, the balloon boy.
Yes, and so you've got a six-year-old child there who's been sworn to secrecy, basically. But under those circumstances, when he had to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And then the same thing is the situation here. The child that has experienced something repeats exactly what they've experienced.
Yeah.
So they do repeat what they have experienced along the way and nothing different to that.
We've had a message come in, Trish, from a gentleman by the name of Scott who says it's great to hear you on the radio. He recently had a gentleman who wanted to report a historical sexual assault whereby the offender had died a number of years earlier. Before the show, we were talking about the delay that some people have in reporting offences. What point is there for a victim to report sexual assault if the person has died, if the assailant has already died? Tell me what your view is on that.
Well, we can't take a body to court.
No.
We can't take a dead body to court.
Sure.
So it would really depend, and from Scott's point of view, whoever he's spoken to, as to why that person wants to report it, what they want, because quite clearly we have no offender. If we know the offender is there, so we would say no, but we would certainly be putting them onto the counselling services and the services available.
Would it help, I guess again you can't convict someone who's dead, but would it help in gathering a bigger picture of perhaps something that might have taken place where others were involved and help maybe complete a loop for you? Or is it
Not
past
for us.
Tense, really. Yeah.
For us, sadly, it is past tense.
Yeah.
But that's not saying it's not past tense for the person
Absolutely.
Involved.
Yeah.
But we can't, you cannot convict people. Some people do say they want to go that way for personal reasons, but we take a statement and we actually do our reports against a person who is alive.
Scott, thank you very much for that SMS. We're talking to Senior Sergeant Trish Duke from the Sexual Assault and Child Abuse Division. Very shortly, we'll be joined by Gabby Tayac and Greg Aitkins from the Anti-Violence Project. You're listening to the very special edition of Hide and Seek, Surviving Sexual Assault on Joy 94.9.
Hide.
Joining me here in the studio is Senior Sergeant Trish Duke. We've also got Acting Sergeant Gabrielle Tayac and Greg Aitkins from the Anti-Violence Project.
Welcome all.
Thanks, Dean.
Good evening.
And we will take Trish's job dealing at the coalface of it, and we'll flow that into the community aspect and how the police liaise and connect with us as community members. But before we do, Trish, tell us about the reporting process. As someone who perhaps has just experienced sexual assault, what is the best thing for them to do first and foremost?
Okay, we'll deal with a recent sexual assault to start with, mm-hmm. and I'll go through that, and then I'll give you some examples of historical as
yeah,
well, if
sure.
you like. Recent sexual assault, the most important thing for us is once we get a call to it, we attend, and the most important thing is to ensure that we get the person medical attention.
Right. So that means blood tests, semen tests, swabs,
yes,
the whole shebang.
The whole lot. Look, but that it's still the person's choice.
Okay.
They don't have to have it, but it certainly gives us a tremendous amount of evidence.
Sure.
And the reason for a lot of the tests is to discount drugs
mm-hmm.
that might have been used, that somebody might have felt that they'd used, or to also cover the amount of alcohol that might be in the system at the time.
Get a broader picture of the situation.
Yes, and also to help the person, because sometimes with some drugs they've taken or that they might have had, they might not be completely aware of what's happened.
Sure.
And so their view might be, well, okay, I did take that much, and yeah, it might not have happened, or it might have happened.
Okay.
Once we've done the medical, once we've arranged the medical, and we stay with them for the medical,
mm-hmm.
we bring them back to a police station, and we then sit down and we start taking notes. The whole time we're sitting there, and it often appears very rude, but we've got our head down taking notes when we're talking to somebody, and police do that. Everybody sees them walking in with folders, pick them a mile off. But it does look very rude. But the point is, we need those notes for court. We need them to go through and help people with the statement so that when we're doing the statement from the person later on, we can actually get very detailed information. But one of the things that is really, really difficult for people is if we asked in this room alone for every person in this room to tell the person beside them their last sexual experience, probably all... I can see your mouths are open as if to say, hang on, you can't say that.
Well, I can tell you, but your hair would curl. Go on.
And we're asking somebody to explain that to a stranger,
yeah.
a total stranger.
In
and
a
it
state
was an
of
experience,
distress.
Yeah. yeah. And it yeah. was an experience they didn't enjoy.
Sure.
And yeah. one would hope that your last one you enjoyed. But the fact is, if even to explain that, and we're talking in graphic detail the whole lot.
Mm.
So we have to sit there and go through it. Now, those statements can take a tremendous amount of time.
Part of that repetitive questioning, is that to make sure that the story doesn't change?
No, it can be to make sure the story doesn't change, but it's also to get the details of something that might be contested later.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it might be that a person has said that someone had their right arm around their right shoulder, and then when it comes out, the person actually was a left-handed person or something
sure,
like that.
Sure.
So it's actually to negate any of the defences that might come up to the sexual assault. And that we do ask people to take that statement as soon as possible. Now, I know that often people might have been at a club all night and be very, very tired. We do say to them, look, we'd rather get it now, but if you need to sleep and come back, come back. And that's where we mentioned false report earlier. A lot of people then might say, look, oh, no, I'm just too tired, don't want to go ahead or go any further with it. But if they can do it there and then, we get the statement signed and hopefully that'll get that process out. We will then have, at the moment, we're separate, but we will have detectives that will come in to be involved in the investigation. So we will deal with the victim,
mm-hmm.
which or the person involved. I don't like the word victim.
Yeah.
We will deal with that person and detectives will come in to do the investigation. As people have probably heard, many of the soccer units are changing to socket units, investigation teams. So in future, it'll be a one-stop shop.
Okay.
Where you'll actually have the investigators there. They won't be strangers brought in,
okay.
which will hopefully lessen the amount of people.
And they'll go through with the entire process from beginning to end with you.
Yes, the way through.
Acting Sergeant Gabrielle Tyke joins us. And, Gabby, is as a gay man, if I
I'm
had,
not a gay man.
No.
I don't think I am.
Actually, clearly not. But if as a gay man, I had an offence brought upon me, would you suggest that I get in contact with the gay and lesbian liaison offices?
That's something you can do, but I would really advise you to just contact the police station or contact Soccer Sexual Offences Child Abuse Unit straight away without dealing with the gay and lesbian liaison.
What happens when I ring 000 and say, put me through to the police, something's just happened? Do they put me through to the sexual offences unit?
Immediately, if there's something going on, if you've just been sexually assaulted, they'll get the uniform van crew to come out to you.
Yeah.
And then they'll get detectives and soccer members to come out to you.
Okay.
So, look, if you're really uncomfortable speaking to police, but you really do want to report the incident, you can definitely come to Gay and Lesbian Liaison and we can assist you and we'll walk through it with you if need be with the Sexual Offence Child Abuse Unit. But you really... ring 000 if it's immediate, if it's just happened, or go to your police station.
Trish, how do you see the role of the gay and lesbian liaison officers extending, I guess, your job out into the community and in specifically our community?
I think probably the things, and Gabby works in an office next to mine anyway.
Oh, right. Okay.
Neighbours.
Yeah. Look, I think probably the things are, if it really is like any liaison officer. If there happens to be a barrier that somebody external feels there's a barrier and they just need somebody to help out to break that barrier, whether it's a liaison for an emergency, whether it's a liaison for this, but Gabby's role is as a liaison officer could be similar to an interpreter.
Yeah.
It is just to say, no, this is what they do, this is the way things work.
Help break down that barrier, I guess, that some people might
And
have.
Sometimes it's also the support role of someone that's not involved in the investigation.
Mm.
For Gabby to have people there that might be able to assist, you know, like it might be that the person needs medical attention and explain, yep, that's why it is. And we might say it and they might say, well, no, does this happen to everybody? Well, yes, it does. But it's also sometimes explaining those differences.
Mm. And there have been instances, one in particular, where a young woman contacted me specifically because I was gay and lesbian liaison and said they would not contact police or report the sexual assault to police. And the only reason they did was because they wanted to go through gay and lesbian liaison. And I helped that woman and sat with her as a support person when they made the statement.
I suppose that's why you guys are there too as well, for those people who can't, you know, feel that they can speak to, you know, a straight person.
That is why we're there. For people who aren't comfortable going to the police in general, the gay and lesbian liaison is that there for that specific reason.
Gabby, there are instances of sexual assault happening in sex on premises venues and they often go unreported because it is a sex on premises venue.
Yes.
We're there to have sex anyway. why would I report it? But they are more often than not sexual offences that aren't reported. Is the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Office a good place to start with that for people who might feel confronted by contacting the police force director about what I presume their hesitation is, that police won't understand what a sex on premises venue is.
That's part of my role. If you have queries or questions about whether you can report to police or whether something is an offence or should be reported, that's one of my roles. You can contact me and I can give you some advice about that. But definitely with sex on premises venues, just because you're there to have sex doesn't mean you can't say no. And often you may be affected by alcohol or other drugs and find out afterwards that you had unwanted sex or unprotected sex or been involved in things you didn't really agree to. And that's when it is an offence. Just because you were there for sex doesn't mean you can't say no. So if you were assaulted and weren't a willing participant, that is an offence and you should definitely report that.
And Trish, this is what we're talking about with the degrees of sexual assault, isn't it? Consent is a big issue, and Sergeant Scott Davis and I did a report on consent here on Hide and Seek a couple of months ago. You can check out that podcast by logging on to the Joy website, joy.org.au. We are doing a very special episode of Hide and Seek as we speak. It is the Surviving Sexual Assault edition. It's part of the Community Safety Month here on Joy 94.9. This is Hide and Seek's special edition, Surviving Sexual Assault, as part of the Community Safety Month here on Joy 94.9. One of the integral people behind this station's contribution to Community Safety Month is Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project. Greg, tell me what the Anti-Violence Project is and how it connects to the police. And you also have a reporting role or reporting facility online. Tell us about that.
We do, Dean. Really, the AVP's key role is it's like a handshake, a virtual handshake, between the gay and lesbian, bi and transgender community and Victoria Police and other supports. So we're like an intermediary. When people aren't comfortable about going directly to the person that's the best person to assist them, we provide the introduction, we provide the handshake, and we, you know, pay for the coffee and get the person in a car and down there to talk with. It could be a SACASA, it could be a SOCA, or it could be
The SACASA is what?
There are a number of CASAs, Centres Against Sexual Assault.
Thank you.
And Carol Worth, I think, is coming up shortly.
Carol will be in a little later to talk to us.
So it's about the supports that people feel they need but don't have the confidence to make that contact directly. So the Anti-Violence Project has that role.
And so I guess for those that are very nervous about reporting or disclosing some of these assaults, coming to you, you can help them. Or hold the hand, is what you're saying. Walk them through the process.
It's the gay and lesbian community holding the hands for other gays and lesbians.
But it also has a very interesting reporting facility online.
That's right. Some people can't report face-to-face. They like to do it anonymously and put their toe in the water and just test out whether they're going to be believed, whether they can generally trust the other end. And they'll do that through our online reporting service, where it's a chance for them to make a statement about what's happened to them and identify whether or not they want some action taken on their behalf. Or it's about a third-party report, where a person could be reporting on behalf of someone else anonymously and do it in a third-party role. Very important to be able to do that.
Greg, you've worked very closely with Scott Davis and Gabrielle Tighe to bring all of this together as part of Joy's commitment to the Community Safety Month. How important do you see the role of, say, Joy in communicating with the gay and lesbian community about making them aware of things like sexual assault, about bringing the Chief Commissioner together in such a tremendous way as he has, as showing his support? What do you see the bigger picture of all of that?
Joy is like that centre of a hub that brings all the community organisations, many gays and lesbians that are not just in the gay ghettos but out there right across this state that listen on the web or through their friends or read about Joy through magazines and newspapers. It brings it all together, and Joy becomes that integral hub to share information, exchange stories and connections And I actually think without joy, we'd be stepping back more than 10 years, 20 years. We'd be going back in the dim dark ages, because without joy, we don't have that same connection and we're fighting and struggling to have conversations about issues.
Can I add to that?
Please do.
Particularly, I feel that global awareness, people have said, well, is sexual assault more prevalent nowadays? There's no way of actually telling that. But what has happened is global awareness, and people are talking about things more, and somebody says, well, that happened to me and it shouldn't have.
And global awareness, you don't necessarily mean worldwide.
No.
You mean a bigger circle than our immediate community.
And also the global awareness in our minds.
Sure.
That shouldn't have happened to me. And when they hear, yes, that something similar might have happened to someone else, stations like Joy can actually get it out and say, come in there. We're here there to do that for you.
One of the things that gay men may not realise is that if you consent to having sex with someone involving a condom and you find out halfway through that that condom isn't on and has been removed deliberately, that is breaking the line of the initial consent.
That's straight-out sexual assault.
That is straight-out sexual assault.
Straight-out sexual assault, yeah.
It's an important message to get across.
It is, and it's if you agree to have sex with somebody, and it's certainly the centre, the areas that Gabby was talking about earlier, if you're in one of the places for sex and what your terms, it's basically like any contract, your terms and conditions are this,
mm-hmm.
and if those terms and conditions are breached, the contract is breached and it is an offence.
That's pretty clear.
Mm.
And it's responsibility of both parties, isn't it? One, the person that's using the condom and takes it off has a responsibility not to breach the consent, but the other party, I think, has a personal responsibility to not stand that situation and to do something about
not
that.
Not put up with it.
Not put up with it.
Yeah.
And if you know, it's the old, if a condom's not on, it's not on, and should stand up for their rights to make sure it's safe sex every time.
Gabby, your involvement with Community Safety Month has been fairly broad and fairly involved. Can you tell us some of the advantages you see of having this conversation, for example?
Well, over Community Safety Month, each week we've been doing a different show. We've been involved in different show. Next week we've got Hear Me Roar, and we're talking about same-sex domestic violence. We've talked about young people's issues, and we've had on Saturday, it was SatMag, and we were talking about homophobic crime. So I think getting the message out there that nothing is... nothing's not important enough to report to police, and that just because you're GLBTIQ, it doesn't mean you should put up with things. So if something's happened to you, an offence has occurred, report it to police. I think a lot of the time in the community, people sort of think, well, you know, it's just what happens, and the police aren't going to do anything, and I'll just put up with it. And that's wrong to think like that.
And the police are poof to bashers anyway.
Yeah, people do think that, and that's not true. So report to police, report to the AVP, tell us what's going on so we can do something about it.
And you might hear an anecdote from someone that they've had a bad experience talking to police. That's their anecdote. You have your own experience to have here, so have your own conversation with police, and you'll probably find it's a different conversation you have.
And I guess one of the important messages to get across is that there is the Anti-Violence Project that is there to support you, and there's the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Office also there to listen. Together, they will help you through the process get to people like Trish, who will help you along the road to your recovery and surviving sexual assault.
That's right. We're on your side, and we're here to assist you, to help you. If you think an offence has been committed, there are ways to report it, and we are here to support you.
Acting Sergeant Gabrielle Tyack, Senior Sergeant Trish Duke, and Greg Atkins, Executive Director of the Anti-Violence Project Victoria, have been our guests this hour on Hide and Seek. It's our special edition, Surviving Sexual Assault. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.